This episode of the Pain Education Corner is sponsored by the Camella Foundation. The Camella Foundation is committed to relieving pain naturally using osteopathic healing principles. Here at the Camella Foundation, we envision a world where people achieve their maximum potential by being empowered with knowledge and skills to heal themselves and others. This information is to be used for educational purposes only, and not to be construed as medical advice. If you have any questions or concerns, please consult a licensed healthcare professional. It's Bill, the knee pain guru, with another edition of the Pain Education Podcast brought to you by the Camella Foundation. Today, we got a special guest, is a buddy of mine, Charles Brom. Charles and I go back a few years, and we reconnected not too long ago, within the past few weeks, and we jumped on a call, and he was just sharing with me some of the challenges that he's seeing with people because of all this quarantine and lockdown stuff. So I thought I'd ask Charles to come on the call today, and we would talk shop on how he approaches issues with perpetual mouse, keyboard, and phone use from being quarantined. So welcome, Charles. And as you were telling me right before, I like to be referred to as Coach. So Coach,
yeah,
would you please introduce yourself?
All right, I'm Coach Charles. For the last 11 years, I've been doing personal training. I've coached well over 500 people at this point, and the vast majority of them have had some sort of ankle, knee, hip, lower back, shoulder, or neck pain. It's one of the big reasons that people come to me. They want to get their mobility back. They want to move more pain-free. Yes, they want to be stronger. Yes, they want to lose some weight. But I think as we get older, most of my clients are age 35 plus, all the way up into the late 70s and early 80s. When we start to lose our mobility, life just isn't as much fun, right? You want to go for a hike? Nah, my back hurts.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you want to go play tennis? No, my shoulder hurts. You want to do a little bit of rock climbing, light rock? No, looking up, my neck hurts. Or can you help me paint my ceiling? No, I can't raise my chin. You know, just life gets gradually, piece by piece, harder to live when you have pain in your joints and you begin to lose your mobility.
Coach, I want to ask you, do you think that's normal? Do you think that's the way it needs to be? How about that? That would probably be a better question. It is normal because so many people are suffering with it. But right. Is that really the way it needs to be?
Okay. That's a great question. So I'll tell you the same thing that I told my father. My father came back from his doctor's office, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And I had been telling him, you know, you might want to consider getting a different doctor, somebody who's going to tell you all the problems that are occurring in your body because you've been overweight for so long, losing mobility on all these kinds of things. And he comes back, no, I'm perfectly good with my doctor. He tells me I'm average and that's okay. I said, Dad, your body doesn't care how old you are or that you're average for the population. There's healthy, there's not so good health, there's unhealthy, and there's, you know, like danger zone, you're about to die. Average for our population is pretty much unhealthy, right? Just look around, walk into any mall, metro stop, anything like that, and just kind of observe the people walking by. The younger people tend to walk very easily, and the older people may have a little bit of trouble walking. They're slightly off balance. Their stride is a little off. Mm-hmm. If you really pay attention, you notice these things. And you'll also notice that as people age, they're just larger than they were before. But this is not a function of age. It's a function of the habits that we have as human beings. And the longer we have these habits, then the additional weight piles on, the lack of mobility occurs, and then a really funny thing happens. When we have less mobility and we're not as strong as we used to be when we were kids, we want to buy cars where you push a button and the door opens for you rather than you opening the door yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to push a button and it moves the chair back so you can easily get in and out of the car and all these things.
Right. So
rather than our life showing us where we're having these issues that we need to work on, we work to a point where we can afford to buy things that make our life easier, which then makes it even harder and harder and harder. I'll give another great example. If you see people walking with a cane, and many times in a wheelchair, if they're in their 70s and 80s, this didn't necessarily happen with a car accident or something dramatic like that. It happened gradually, week after week, year after year. And folks didn't notice the danger signs. And so what I hope to do is work with people that have noticed some danger signs and stop them from progressing along that path and get as much of the strength and mobility and function back into their joints that they can. And I always caveat that though, because this is important. If you've got a severed tendon, we can't fix that, right? That's only surgery is gonna help, and that may not completely solve the problem. But if this is something that is related to muscle tissue in any way, or just a general limit in the range of motion, we can help you get that motion back. We can help you build the strength around the joints, and we can make it feel like you've reversed the aging process.
Yeah, there was a couple of analogies that I use in working with clients. One is a car analogy. If the frame is crooked, no matter how much you drive it, it's not going to straighten out. And that's what a lot of people do. It's like they have that, the frame gets crooked from an accident, injury, surgery, trauma, whatever that is. And it causes the body to compensate. Now it's crooked, so to speak. You're not standing straight. You're not sitting straight. You're not walking straight. You're not running straight or exercising straight. And it creates a dysfunction that's more easy. You're apt to injuries. So that's one of the analogies. The other analogy was like, the analogy of the frog in the pot. If you put a frog in a pot of cool water, or I'm sorry, proper way to describe it is if you put a frog in a pot of hot water, the frog will hop out of the water. Yeah. If you put a frog in a pot of cool water and then turn up the heat gradually, what ends up happening is the frog will cook in the pot. And that's where I think a lot of the population has been that frog in the cool water. And gradually, day after day after day, they get less mobility, less function, more pain, more stiffness. And it's like, wow, that's just what happens when I get older.
Right. So, I have old man knees.
Yes.
Right. That's kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Before we get off in the weeds, because I see this conversation going in a bunch of different directions, let's get back on topic, which is around the whole concept of quarantine. In some capacity over the past year, the American population, the population of the world, has somewhat been limited for a number of different reasons, not exercising as much, staying more at home. And when we were talking the other day, you had said you had identified three areas of the body that had a propensity for injuries to occur or issues to occur specifically because they were doing work at home, sitting in front of a computer.
Yes.
And those three areas we talked about were the shoulders, the lower back, and... why am I not finding them?
Knees.
Knees. Thank you.
Yeah.
Duh. I should know that. Okay. Would you speak to that dynamic of what's been going on, what you've been seeing in the gym?
All right. So as you know, it's all a big, long kinetic chain, right? So when one area tends to have a problem, then the others can develop problems as well. So as we trace this back with people over the last 6 to 9 months, what we're seeing is they came out of their regular work environment and over the years, companies have gotten pretty sophisticated in the types of desks and chairs and the way the monitors are set up and this type of thing, so that people aren't in as much pain, right? So we've got desks that raise up and down. Some people even have the ability to walk on a little treadmill at work.
Ergonomic.
Ergonomic
Ergonomic,
kind of
yes.
stuff, right? The chairs are built in all kinds of different ways. You can lean back in them, you can pull forward, you can go up and down, side to side, and you move the armrest, all that kind of stuff. So people are used to working in environments where there's thousands and thousands of dollars spent on supporting that person to be able to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day at that station. Now they go into their home and people are setting up a laptop on a countertop, maybe on top of a desk, perhaps the kitchen table, or they're throwing that laptop down in their lap while they're sitting on the couch and they're looking down at this thing like that. And perhaps the worst is kind of throwing a pillow behind them and they're laying in the bed, kind of
Oh,
this type of thing.
I'm so guilty of all of those. Okay, go
Yes.
ahead.
Yes. So people used to tell me it was very difficult to get up and walk around and get mobile during the workday because maybe they were stuck with phone calls, or they were just doing some data entry. They're looking at spreadsheets, all this type of thing. But they were getting up and they were going to the kitchen. They were getting up and doing several other things. Meet with somebody in another office. Go up a couple of floors to go to a conference room. This type of thing. It's all changed. Now you could lay on the couch and you could be there for 8 hours straight and not move at all. Yeah. So we're seeing a higher incidence of shoulder and neck and wrist pain, hips, knees, all of that.
And is it because they're holding that position for an extended period of time, or is lack of movement? Can you break that down a little bit more to help someone who's listening to this or watching this? Watching the podcast in a way that they can begin to understand these dynamics that are happening in their body.
Sure. Yes and yes.
Okay.
So if we're sitting in the same position for a long time, let's talk lower back for a second.
Okay.
If your lower back is slightly rounded out and you sit like that for 3 hours straight, your body has been pushing in that direction the entire time. All of your weight of your trunk and your head and everything is just pressing down and pushing back this way. Normally, if you're up and walking around, you're getting pressure from all sides. You're maybe reaching over here, grab something, in and out of a car, whatever it happens to be. So when we sit for a long time, not only are we getting that pressure there, but then the body does something really strange. The brain starts to lose contact with the muscle fibers that are around those joints. Wow. So we become much stronger in one direction and much weaker in the other direction. To give an example that someone can test out at home, lay on your stomach and kind of put your hands near your chest and just sort of press up and leave your hips on the ground. And is there a significant amount of pain in your lower back? Now, that should be nice and mobile. You see people doing these yoga moves, you're like, oh, wow, that's so elegant the way that person moves. Well, that's the way you're supposed to be able to move with your lower back. But if you're immediately getting into some pain, probably you've been sitting for too long. And over the years, we've developed some disc issues down there. Okay. Let's say it's a shoulder issue. A lot of people will read with their arm forward. Oh, I guess you can see it here, with their arm forward like that, holding the mouse. So all the time that shoulder is sitting slightly out of joint and rolled forward. So all the muscles in your chest become tighter and the muscles back here become stretched and strained and then gradually may not. But at some point in time, the brain starts to lose that contact back there, and those muscles get weak, and you can't pull the shoulder back into position anymore. And so, a quick, easy way for somebody to check if they have problems with that is raise your arm up and can you rotate your arm backwards? Yeah.
Got it.
And if you can't, and a lot of people can't, they'll end up doing something like this. And their brain tells them they're rotating backwards, but in reality, they're moving their bicep. Mm-hmm. And the brain has lost connection back there.
Yeah. I want to interrupt you for one second, because I've have two clients that I've been working with frozen shoulders. Mm. And what I've been finding is that exact pattern. The scapula, the engagement of the scapula between the scapula and the spine, the muscle right there that would squeeze the scapula in and down, isn't able to contract. No. It's like it's not neurologically, it's not firing in the correct order. So they're going to raise their shoulder and they're raising everything with the pattern you were talking about, the chest, the shoulder, like everything is all engaged except the scapula in the back that's supposed to pull down that allows the shoulder to go up. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, I'm right there with you in terms of what I've been seeing as well when it comes to the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. So,
didn't mean to get you off track there.
No. It's, if we get way too far in the weeds on that particular stuff, then people start tuning out. Yeah. So the same kind of thing can happen with your knees. The same kind of thing mm-hmm. can happen with your ankles. But potentially another one that most people aren't aware of is their hip flexors shortening up.
Mm, yep.
Okay. And it's because we sit all the time. We sit to drive, we sit to eat, we sit to work, we sit for all of these various kinds of things. And so an easy way for somebody to see if that's a problem is to lay on their back, raise their legs straight overhead and drop it down. And if your knee wants to bend on the way down before your heel hits the ground, then your hip flexors are probably shortened up. And this could be causing back pain. And if we track that back, it's probably from sitting all those hours, maybe on the couch. And the couch is comfy, right? You can move your hips forward a little bit. You can lean into it. And your lower back is just going to completely round out. Yeah. So that's the majority of the problems that people are coming to me with based on COVID. You know, it's the couch, it's the sitting there like this even afterwards, right? When does the workday end? Well, you know, you put the laptop down and you bring the phone up to your face and you're just sitting like that. And so that brings both shoulders in.
Right. Could you speak to, and this is more of a talking shop kind of deal. Is it the hip flexors are too tight or the quads get weak? Because I noticed that's something that I've been working with lately is hip mobility for myself. Yeah. And I will, in terms of just a regular movement down, it's not a big deal. Like I don't have the leg bending, but in terms of getting full extension of the leg, let's say when I'm standing up with my leg out in front of me, I find that there is a tension pattern that is preventing my leg from straightening out. And I also have, it feels like a weakness in the quad in a way that I never knew my quad could get strong.
Sure. And people see this a lot of times when they do an exercise like a pistol, where you stand on one leg and you squat down, that other leg that's sticking straight out in front, their leg will want a Charlie horse as they're doing that.
Yes.
Okay. So we immediately want to think about the quad because, hey, that's a little bit of a problem. But it could actually be an issue with the hamstring.
Okay.
As well. If you are struggling against the hamstring to pull the leg straight, now that quad is working much harder than it would normally be just to straighten the leg. So for instance, if you were sitting on a chair, I'll just turn to the side here. And if I stick my leg out straight, I can feel my quads engage, but it's really not that big a deal, right? I'm just straightening out. So my leg is in the same position as if I was standing up. Mm-hmm. But when I stand up, my hips change, and now suddenly the hamstrings have to stretch further in order to straighten the leg out.
Okay.
I'm following you. So that becomes an inhibitor.
Mm-hmm. Like the antagonistic muscle concept.
Yes.
Bicep, tricep, hamstring, quad. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Pain Education Corner. If you have a special talent or skill to relieve pain and you'd like to become a guest on our show, visit us at thecamellafoundation.org/interview. Help us spread the word on eliminating pain and suffering in the world. That's thecamellafoundation.org/interview. Okay, so we're looking at these patterns that are perpetuated by perpetual mouse, keyboard, phone use. We talked about the shoulders, the lower back, the knees. Talk about the knees a little bit more. I'm interested in your take on the knees, okay. what you're seeing.
So when your quads start to go to sleep a bit from sitting for long periods of time, and our viewers may really have experienced this at some point, you're sitting back into a chair, like there's these IKEA chairs. I have one at home, and the hip sits significantly below where the knee is. You mm-hmm. sit down into it and you lay back a little bit. It's awesome for watching TV in. And if I sit there for a couple hours watching a movie, I go to get up and I can immediately feel it in my knees. My quads have gone to sleep somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. They're not active. And so they're suddenly having to like really engage. But if I walk around a little bit, and I've tested this out, and I sit back down in the chair again, I can get back out of it normally, mm-hmm. right? So when people are sitting for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours every day, and they're not getting up like they used to when they were at work, you know, like you might even have somebody just step by your desk and you have to stand up for just 3 seconds to show them something on a piece of paper. And then you say, but you still got up. You got out of that chair, mm-hmm. right? So these quads, they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And they have lost the ability to all work together in mm-hmm. order to get up out of that chair. Combine that with your glutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they sit at opposite ends, right? Opposite joints.
Okay.
If the glutes aren't able to fully engage and the quads aren't able to fully engage, now you have a tremendous amount of pressure pulling against your kneecap.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Right. And this over time causes a lot of pain because you start to get micro tears and adhesions and such on those little tendons that are attached to your patella on either side.
Yay. Okay. I'm following you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if you can strengthen those quads, you can strengthen your glutes, a lot of knee pain will greatly diminish if it's caused from sitting like that. Mm-hmm. Right. A great test that I give somebody to see if they have some weak glutes, and people are really surprised by this. They're like, what do you mean my leg's not going out? So you lay down flat on the ground, face down, raise one leg. So you've got it at 90 degrees, mm-hmm. drop that toe down and try and put your heel up on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And many people that have been sitting over quarantine, they can barely get their leg to come off the ground, maybe an inch or something. And they're like, I feel like I'm pushing so hard, but it just doesn't want to go. The quads are asleep.
Yeah.
So the biggest, most powerful muscles in your body aren't working. That means all the smaller muscles, all the weaker muscles are trying to do that same job. And our brains are amazing. It can figure out 20 different ways to do something, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it's doing it effectively. Mm-hmm. We want to get those glutes back active again.
Now, the question I want to ask you is around, there's some clients you were working with pre-COVID. And there's clients you're working with, I won't say post yet.
Yeah, recently.
As of recent, you're starting to work with these clients. Yeah. So can you give what you've seen in terms of the results of how a person was functioning in your gym when they were working out before all of this lockdown quarantine stuff hit, and then now afterwards, how that's affected their body, their strength, their mobility, their flexibility, their health. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So I had some people who stopped coming in and stopped working out with me right when all the news started hitting. You know, gyms are death. Stay away from gyms. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cancellation notices. And then in the last couple of months, a few of those folks have started coming back. They're like, oh, hey, things are getting better. You know, and my health is really going downhill. So I'm hearing a lot of that. Just in general, the malaise, they're not feeling like they felt before. You know, I've tried to stay active. I walked. I tried to do some working out. And then they're like, well, the consistency just wasn't there. After work, that bottle of wine's really calling to me. It's just very frustrating. I can't spend time with friends. I'm feeling pretty isolated. I'm fighting more with my kids. I'm fighting more with my husband. I'm fighting more with my wife, these kinds of things. And so the workday can finish at 4 instead of 6, maybe. And that glass of wine comes out, the beers come out, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, a 20-minute walk 3 or 4 times a week isn't making it happen. Occasionally doing a set of push-ups, jumping on the stationary bike here and there, getting on the elliptical, maybe going for a short bike ride around the neighborhood. It has just not kept pace. Folks are coming back and they're telling me, I feel like I did when I first started here 3 years ago, you know, that kind of thing. Range of motion, maybe 10-15% decrease in range of the motion. Significant more joint pain across all joints. Less mobility in the spine overall. Less ability to control the spine, doing something like a squat or a deadlift where you really need to articulate everything that's happening in your back. Loss of control over your knees when you're squatting. For instance, your knees should track out as you're going down, right? To make sure we're getting the rotational muscles to pull into place and fully stabilize your hips. That's just sort of gone by the wayside. So we're having to reteach movement patterns. All right. So everything has changed somewhat. Now, of course, it's individual. Some people did a lot more than others over that time period. But also new folks that are coming to me are calling me and saying they used to work out at a gym, and rather than going back to a gym, they just don't feel like they used to, and they feel like they need somebody to get them back on track, right? And sure enough, we spend that first day working together, going through a series of exercises that kind of show them and I where their mobility is and strength and weakness and coordination and balance and all of these kinds of things. And so sometimes they'll say, geez, my balance is even off. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Other than that, we're seeing folks have put on between 10 and 20 pounds.
It's almost like going to college again.
It very much is. And I'll ask people, why do you think that happened? And they'll say, well, you know, I used to make my lunch and bring it with me to work. And now I just kind of go into the kitchen and I'll eat whatever happens to be there. And if there's a bag of chips, and well, maybe I don't feel like making something right now. I'll eat a couple handfuls of chips and this will hold me over for an hour and then I'll make lunch. That doesn't really happen. So then you grab the iced tea with a bunch of sugar in it or something else. And you kind of graze from 11 o'clock until 6 and then you eat dinner.
after the wine and the beer.
Flight of the beer, yeah. And of course, as we all know, if you start drinking before you've had dinner, your inhibitions for eating crappy food kind of goes away. And it happens for me too. Sure. I've been doing this for 11 years professionally. If I go have a couple of beers across the street with some of my clients or friends, and I see somebody get like the nachos, I'm like, I want nachos. Yeah.
I get you. Yeah, I fall into those same traps as well. But it's so interesting. I think these are it's the frog in the pot. These gradual changes, the handful of chips, the glass of wine, the beer and things like that, which in and of itself isn't bad. That doesn't seem to be a course correction. It seems like a slippery slope that people keep regressing. What would you say to someone who feels themselves slipping? They're in their 30s, they're in their 40s, in their 50s, and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, the things aren't like it was when I was in my 20s. And now I have all these dynamics, family, financial stresses, all these other things. What can they begin doing? Like, how could you begin to course correct something like that and feel like you're making any progress? Because it could seem overwhelming.
It really can. Hurts,
my shoulder hurts, my back hurts, my knees hurt. I get crappy sleep. It hurts to move. I don't want to exercise or lift weights like I used to. I'm just speaking to it. Like, what would Coach Charles say?
All right. So there's a really interesting aspect to human psychology that's at play here. If somebody's really feeling like crap, they'll go see the doctor. Hey, doc, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe they get some medication, or maybe they get escalated up the chain. Oh, you need to go see a specialist. They go see the specialist. The specialist takes x-rays or whatever it happens to be. Maybe your blood pressure is way up. We've got to draw blood and see what's going on there. There's a whole lot of diagnostics in place. So it's very normal for a person who's got a head cold or trouble breathing, hey, let's go see the doctor. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to other danger signs, knee pain and such, the human psychology says, let's wait until this is a real problem. And then let's go see the doctor.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Go. I love it. This is good.
And then what does the doctor typically say? Here, go take some aspirin, go take some Advil, try this for 4 weeks. If you still got pain, come back and see me. So as you and I know, that just masks the pain. Mm-hmm. So what would I suggest instead? I suggest coming to professionals such as ourselves who are used to dealing with movement, mobility, pain, strength, all of these kinds of things, and get evaluated. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to come see somebody like us, maybe go see a chiropractor who is also very adept at observing the way a person would move and when things are not operating correctly, because it might be a real simple tight muscle. It just needs to be loosened up. Hey, back, you're walking fine again. Everything's good. But a lot of times the chiropractor also tell you, hey, you know, we identified this dysfunction. I helped you at this instant. But if you don't strengthen the muscles surrounding the hip in a day or two, you're going to feel that same pain. You're going to be right back in here seeing me again. And I'm happy to work with you. And it's probably going to take 4 to 6 weeks or 8 weeks. But I want you to start doing some strength training. Here's a couple of exercises. Or perhaps you might want to go see a personal trainer. So people tend to think of all of us professionals as being quite expensive, but they don't think about going to see the doctors and the specialist as being expensive. This is just something you need to do. In fact, all over the news, it's like, hey, healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. Mm-hmm. I wish there was the cry from the media of personal trainer, personal trainer, personal trainer. Get your fitness level up. Get your fitness level up. Get your fitness level up. And so somebody can come in and see you, they can come see me, and we can help them to determine what's going on and trace back. Hey, I've got shoulder pain. Let's trace back and see what's going on. Oh, you spend 6 hours a day holding a mouse. Mm-hmm. That's probably a problem. What can we do now to fix this? And it's not going to happen overnight. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They want the magic pill.
Sure. One thing I'd like to add to the scenario, because I think that scenario is great, and I see there's a couple different types of people. One is fix it for me. Mm-hmm. And the other is show me what to do. Help me understand what I need to do. So you could meet me at another level. You right. could meet me at a better version of myself, even if it's only in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage anybody watching this to look for that coach, that therapist, whoever it may be, that has that ability to meet you at that better version of yourself. Even a couple days, week down the road, couple weeks, and realize this is an investment in the quality and longevity of what's going on in your body. Yeah. And that's what I hear you saying. It's like, you're going to give somebody a tool to use to begin to strengthen a weak muscle that is going to reveal how you're going to be stronger in some ways and weaker in others that will then ultimately make your body healthier down the road.
Right. Right. And some level of pain relief can occur immediately. Yeah. And people are frequently surprised by that. Right. And they'll sit and struggle. It's like a kid with math. They've struggled so long with doing some math problems. They mm-hmm. don't want to ask their parents for help anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't want to ask their teacher for help anymore. They don't want their friends to think they're stupid. They'll just sit there and struggle with it. And so you're in sixth grade, you're having trouble with math. By the time you're a senior in high school, you don't even want to take math, right? Math is a dirty word. Ah, let me stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Shoulder pain can be just like that. It starts out as something that's annoying, and then it can progress to the point where you don't even want to move the shoulder. You just kind of walk around sort of like this. Mm-hmm. And somebody wants to move that arm. You're like, don't even touch me. And you've now accustomed yourself to this is the rest of my life. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. But regarding pain, and this is a concept that once I wrapped my head around this for myself in my own journey, that pain in the body is only irritation of nerves the width of an eyelash. And you get that pressure off of those nerves, the pain goes away. Now, this, of course, is with the basis that they've gone to the doctor first to determine that nothing is broken or torn. We covered that in the beginning. But right now, like frozen shoulder, lower back pain, knee pain, whatever it is, as long as something is not broken or torn, the only thing we're dealing with is nerve irritation. And we bring the body back into balance, whether it be strengthening or stretching or mobility or breathing, or there's a whole bunch of stuff we could bring into the equation. I completely agree. The pain could go away pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it's, how do you start? You start with that diagnostic, right? Mm-hmm. But we all kind of hate being tested. It puts us in a position where we don't like it very much. Mm-hmm. And what if you find out bad news, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to have bad news. We as a human society, we'd rather just sort of like charge forward and ignore everything mm-hmm. that's around us. But I want to encourage everybody's listening here. You got pain in your shoulder, you got pain in your knees, lower back, whatever it is, you know, go talk to somebody who can do a little bit of a diagnostic for you and help you to understand what's going on and then help you to figure out a path to get from A to B. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can not completely heal everything. I'll give a personal example. I have lower back pain at the moment of probably like a level 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Every day of my life, I have level 1 or level 2. I had an MRI done and there is one disc that's half the size of all the other discs in my back. Mm-hmm. And that just happens to be within an inch or so of the area that's always bothering me. So it kind of makes sense. There's a physical issue and it drives the nerves and such. But mm-hmm. to me, living with a pain level of 1 to 2 is something my brain can ignore. Mm-hmm. When it was 8, 9, and 10, I could not ignore that, right? And trying to figure these things out on my own was very, very difficult. Several years of learning, I wish I would have just gone directly to people who could who sure. could help me get there a lot faster.
Now, someone watching this, and I know for me, whenever I'm looking for a professional, I'm in an area that it's a new area of study for me. I don't even know who to ask or how to begin with that. A lot of times, unless I hear someone share like this, I don't know if the guy down at the corner, the physical therapist or the gym or whoever it is, knows what you're talking about, because I'm not even able to make that connection. Mm-hmm. What you're saying sounds good, Coach Charles, but I go down to Coach Joe over here. It sounds the same, but it doesn't seem the same. Mm-hmm. How can a person qualify or quantify who they're dealing with?
Okay.
I'm going to tie this into people coming to contact you.
Well,
We'll get there.
That is a great question. And I'll pull us back to human nature again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When it comes time to spend $50, $100, $200, $500, we have a tendency to want to spend that money correctly, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right? When you go to buy a car, a new car, you don't expect that car to have any problems at all. That's why you're paying 50 grand for the new car instead of 5 grand for the 25-year-old used car with 186,000 miles on it.
Right.
Right. Now, it's comfortable to do that because the expectation is I buy the new car, it's going to work. The trouble with working with professionals is that you're never absolutely going to know 100% until you walk through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, if we're buying books, let's say you go to the bookstore and there's 20 books on back pain. The average person would be willing to buy 3 or 4 books on back pain by different authors and different approaches and take those home, and they'll read through the books and they'll, you know, maybe get a little bit of help out of that process. They don't look at the other 3 books that don't work quite as well as the one book as wasted money. They're like, oh, that was just part of my research.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I learned a little bit from book one. I learned a little more from book two. I learned something different from book three. Book four seemed to have an approach that worked best for my particular lower back pain. Great. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the road moving. And weirdly, I actually feel more comfortable going and dropping $100, $200, $500 with a professional now because mm-hmm. I've seen a little bit of improvement. Hey, it looks like somebody who really knows what they're doing could help me out. So the human nature is we're willing to spend money on multiple different books, but we're absolutely scared to drop money on several professionals.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But the reality is that you may need to work with 2 or 3 or 4 professionals in order to get the best solution for your exact situation. Somebody who understands where you're coming from, can diagnose what's going on. I'm an engineer by training, so diagnosis is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's built into my psyche. I solve problems. I tear things apart to try and figure them out. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I know that a lot of other personal trainers are not like me.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some certification in whatever. There's dozens of certifications out there. And some of them may or may not have my background and understanding. But personally, I had neck pain, shoulder pain, lower back pain, and knee pains. And I spent a lot of time working with professionals, reading the books, testing all of these things out. And that gave me a really deep bench to work with.
Mm-hmm.
A 25-year-old personal trainer who's never really had any major pain in his life looks like he's in great shape. That guy may not be able to come at it from the same perspective. He may only have like 3 short little approaches. And if that doesn't work, I can't really tell. So what's the best way to evaluate them? Get on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Most of us has been in business for a long time. We offer a free consultation, you know, 15, 20 minutes, jump on the phone. If the person's not asking you the right questions to get you talking about what's going on, they're probably not going to be able to help you very well in person either. But if they're able to ask you probing questions and you feel yourself answering those with more than yes and no, mm-hmm. but you're actually giving details and such, and you're starting to feel like, oh, hey, this guy is actually walking down a path helping me to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably do need to come in and meet with this person so they can help me fix this problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I was also... I really liked the initial interaction on the phone with this coach trainer type of person and seeing what questions they're asking me as a person suffering in pain. And I'm also thinking from a person in pain to maybe show up on that call with a list of questions. Like, so do a little bit of due diligence, a little bit of preparatory work beforehand. So when they show up on the call, they have an idea of, well, how long would it be before I see results? What has been your experience with someone with my in my situation? I'm thinking of questions on the fly here, but something it's like, what is the outcome this person wants, even though it may be limited because I have pain and I'm really don't know the potential of what I can, my body is capable of at this point. But if I had maybe 3 or 4 or 5 questions that would help me learn what I want to learn as a client of this person, that I think that would be helpful as well in that initial interaction with that person.
Yeah. So the most obvious question is, hey, have you worked with anybody with this type of problem?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what kinds of results have you helped them to get? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, each individual's results are going to be different.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
So just like those financial commercials, right? Your results may vary. And it's absolutely true.
Same with drug commercials.
Same with drug commercials. Yes. But I would want to make sure that they're not just focused on pain by itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to talk about movement functionality. I want them to be able to talk about strength. I want them to be able to talk about overall fitness and even be able to guide them on things like what kind of weight range should they be in? Because let's be frank here. Sometimes pain, especially in lower back and knees and hips, is caused by you're carrying way too much weight. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if the body never has an ability to recover because it's always under stress, right?
Sure.
Just imagine this for a second. I give this as an example to folks. Let's say you were 50 pounds overweight. Every time you get out of a chair, it's like you were doing a squat with 50 pounds across your back.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, yes, this makes a lot of sense. You can almost hear over the phone a light bulb going off. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to holistically treat the entire process, mm-hmm. right? It's not just pain in a particular area, at least in general, it's not. So we want to understand where the pain comes from. We want to understand the movement dysfunction, but we also want to understand the general health of the person. And are they within a reasonable weight range for their frame, right? Mm-hmm. So if a person has a really small wrist, collarbones, shoulder width, and all this kind of thing, their frame is small. Even if they're tall, they probably shouldn't weigh X. But another person who's short has a really broad frame, really thick wrists and thick hands and big collarbones and such. That person may weigh significantly more at a shorter height. And so they want to be able to talk with somebody who understands this stuff just off the top of their head and can, you know, guide them in that process. Hey, I'm 150 pounds. Is this something that I, because I get asked these kinds of questions, right? I'm 5'3" and I weigh 150 pounds. Should I do something about my weight? I've always carried a lot of extra weight. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about it in detail, you know, and then have somebody who can talk diet with them, right? Pain may be inflammation, right? So if
go figure,
if we're just focused on the physicality of movement and such, but we're not addressing what might be going on with food intake, we could be missing 30 or 40% of the issue. And that's a big chunk.
And just to qualify inflammation, we're not talking about inflammation from an injury. We're talking about systemic inflammation in the body as a result of, food, water, air we breathe. You know, I had a podcast a few weeks ago with a guy who was talking about the effects of Wi-Fi on the physical body and issues like that. So we're constantly bombarded. The body's constantly trying to ward off inflammation. And I hear what you're saying is that this is more like a systemic through the entire body that's contributing to what we're dealing with.
And then last, as basic questions, they should be able to, the personal trainer, the pain professional should be able to talk to them about sleep, Right? If the professional doesn't understand the relationship of sleep to what's going on with the whole body, then again, they're missing out on something that could be 20, 30, 40% of the equation. Right? You could have the most fantastic workout in the world. You could have perfect joint movement and such. You know, you're eating like an angel every single day. But if you're getting 4.5 to 5 hours sleep 10 days in a row, your body's never getting into a position where it can fully recover. And the workouts may be doing more damage in the long run than the strength gains and such that, well, you're probably missing on the strength gains too if you're only getting 4.5 hours sleep. But a lot of desk workers, keyboard warriors, as some people call them, get in these situations where there's a launch occurring with some software package, and 3 or 4 weeks leading up to that, they're hardly getting any sleep. You know, they're getting calls at midnight from somebody that needs help at help desk, whatever it happens to be. And yep, they're up till one, and then they got to be up at work at 6 o'clock the next morning dealing with the next issue. Or they can only do updates in the middle of the night. So they're doing swing sleeps where they're trying to sleep in the middle of the day for a few hours. Your fitness professional should be able to talk to you about the holistic approaches to everything that's going on with pain in your life.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. That's good stuff. Cause it, I think it broadens the perspective of what may be going on in a person's body when they're talking about shoulder pain, lower back pain, knee pain, and things such as that. Charles, I know we spoke about this. You're not necessarily set up yet to work with people remotely, but if someone were to reach out to you and want to work with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, actually, more recently, we have set up Zoom.
Okay.
As a very effective method. We used to do a hodgepodge of things, but the Zoom is working out really well now. Mm-hmm. Where I'm not as set up is to work with people from a quote distance coaching kind of thing where I give you through email a set of things to do and then you just go and do them. Mm-hmm. But we can get about 80 to 90% of the capability in place over Zoom.
Okay.
Okay, that we can through coming in person. And the easiest way to learn a little bit more about our basic 4-week program where we get people started is 2xjumpstart.com. That's the number 2, the letter X, and then jumpstart.com.
Okay.
And why do we call it 2x? Well, the first X is because you need a little bit of a kick in the seat of the pants to get going again, right?
Okay, that's fair.
And then the second X, if you will, the two, is the whole idea is to help the person develop new habits and behaviors that they can keep for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're coming to me for shoulder dysfunction and pain and such, we're going to teach you all the fundamentals of exercise, just like we do those who don't have pain. Mm-hmm. But we're going to help you to identify the behaviors that are impacting that pain in the first place and changes that you can make to your lifestyle, including work, home, travel, whatever it happens to be, so that you can get out of pain for the long haul. Mm-hmm. New habits around eating, new habits around exercise, new habits around sleep, new habits around accountability. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a basic 4-week program. And essentially somebody can go to that website, read through, if they see the types of things that they like, they can set up an online consultation form and then go straight to my online calendar. And from there, we can get on and talk and people can tell me, you know, the nitty gritty of their individual personal issues, problems, pain point, all of these kinds of things. And I'll listen, I'll ask questions to get a little more detail and information. And at the end, we just kind of make a good decision of whether we're a good fit to work together or not, whether it's in person or over Zoom.
Got it. And are you able to, one of the things, we'll put a bonus down below this. You have a video or something, a movement thing, something you have that you could share with the crew?
So what is my If you go to my Facebook page.
Well, we'll get a link to that. We'll put it down below this, but
yeah.
We'll...
And if you go into the videos section,
mm-hmm.
in the videos, I have demonstrated each of our basic warm-up exercises and how to adjust those exercises based on what you may or may not have at home to be able to do them. So for instance, people tell me all the time, I can't do a push-up. Mm-hmm. So in the video, we've shown them how they could use something like a desktop or a countertop or even against the wall to get that push-up done. And what these exercises will help the person to do is determine dysfunction on their own. Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can't get through that full range. Like he's demonstrating that I can't do that full range of motion. Mm-hmm. So if they jump on the phone with me and they say, hey, I tried to move my arms all the way back like this, but I stopped. Probably can't tell there, but you know, like 80% of that, what's going on? And we're talking on the phone. Okay, great. Now I can help you even more initially to see what's going on. Okay. So there's 9 of those videos that are listed there.
Okay. Well, I'll get the link from those. I'll get those from you. We'll put it on the bonus page on the website. So we'll have that so people could check those out. We'll have the information on how to get in touch with you, the 2xjumpstart.com, any other contact information you'd like to share with us. And we'll put that in the show notes below this video. It'll all be on the Camella Foundation website in the pain education corner. Coach Charles, anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap this up?
I think just make a personal appeal. I have lived through so much pain in my life, and it could have been so much easier if I would have started to address the pain much earlier rather than later on. So if I can just encourage everybody, whatever pain you may be getting to, you're not too busy.
Mm-hmm.
You can start now. You can start really simple. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, and you can start to get out of pain much more quickly. The longer you let the pain go, the more it's set into your brain, the more dysfunction occurs, the harder it's going to be to fix the pain later on. And eventually you may need surgery, like a knee replacement, a hip replacement, all of those kinds of things. So mm-hmm. I can just personally implore people, hey, you're in pain. Let's start doing something about it. That's not a natural part of growing older.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Great. Well, Coach Charles, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you sharing your knowledge, your experience, your take on physical pain in the body and how it's related to the quarantine situation, the lockdown, and showing up in the physical body.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Where was I? Yes. So thank you for your knowledge, experience, expertise, and all of that. We're going to wrap this up for now. I'm going to look back at this one, and there's another one in the works, because at the beginning we were going down a different path and we course corrected, but there, I definitely want you back for another one. There's some other topics I want to chat with you about.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, I enjoy having these conversations, and you know, we live this stuff every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here Monday through Saturday. Every single day we live this stuff, and it's really great to see people's faces change, like get that smile on your face. Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Walk out of here feeling better. Yeah.
So, okay, well, we're going to wrap this up. This is Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru. Thank you so much for being on the Pain Education Podcast, brought to you by the Camella Foundation, and we will see you on the next one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me stop the recording. To learn more about the work we do at the Camella Foundation, please visit our website at the Camella, CommellaFoundation.org. Join us next week for another conversation on natural healing methods to eliminate pain.